Morning, everyone. We're going to make a wee start just to our service this morning by singing together the hymn number 110 in our own hymn book. It's the first hymn in the hymn sheet, a wonderful hymn of praise. It says, O love divine, what hast thou done? The immortal God have died for me. The Father's co-eternal Son bore all my sins upon the tree. The immortal God for me have died. My Lord, my love is crucified. We'll keep our seats while we sing as the organist leads us in our praise today. Hearts together in prayer, the throne of grace, let us look to the Lord today, praying for the Lord's nearness and presence and blessing in our service today. Our gracious God, our loving, eternal, heavenly Father, we come before Thee this Sabbath morning, and we come in and through the worthy and precious name of our Savior and Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, the One who is our all and all, the One who has made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Father, we thank Thee, O God, today for the sinless person of Christ, that He knew no sin, that He did no sin. We realize, O God, that He was holy and harmless and separate from sinners and undefiled. Yet, O God, we thank Thee that He came into this world to seek and to save lost, guilty sinners such as us. And Father, we thank Thee that on that great plan of redemption and salvation, He went to the cross, as we've been singing about this morning. And there He suffered and bled and died for us. There He bore upon Himself the wrath, the curse of God that was our due. And Father, we thank Thee that upon that cross He died, the just for us, the unjust, that He might bring us to God. And Father, we thank Thee, O God, today for the value and for the virtue of the precious blood of Christ. We rejoice, O God, today in that blood that cleanseth us from all sin. And Father, we thank Thee, O God, that through Christ we have life eternal. Through trusting Him we have life more abundant. And we have the blessed assurance of eternal life and a home in God's heaven one day. And, O God, we thank Thee that this is all due to Thy goodness and Thy mercy. And truly, O God, we can say today that the Lord is good and that the mercy of the Lord endureth forever. We thank Thee for the goodness of Thy grace and salvation, O God. We thank Thee, Father, for Thy presence. We thank Thee for blessings more than can be numbered. We thank Thee, O God, for the goodness of Thy grace, Thy wisdom, Thy power, Thy holiness toward us, and all Thy blessings upon us as the people of God day by day. And Father, we thank Thee that Thy mercies are new every morning, and that Thy mercies, Lord, that they endure forever. O God, we realize, O God, that we deserve the very least of Thy mercies. We deserve judgment and hell for our sins. Yet, Lord, Thou didst not pass us by. Thou didst not leave us to ourselves and to our sin. But, O God, we thank Thee for drawing us to Christ in salvation. We thank Thee for the work of the Comforter, the Holy Spirit of God, in our hearts and lives as the people of God. And Father, we thank Thee for that day and hour in our own experience, when we passed from death unto life, when we came as a sinner unto Christ, and found in Him pardon and peace and hope for time and all of eternity. O God, bless us here today in Thy house. We pray for a real sense of the presence of God today. Lord, create within us a clean heart, renew within us a right spirit. Help us to worship Thee, O God, in spirit and in truth. Grant, O God, that the words of our lips and the thoughts of our hearts, Lord, would be acceptable in Thy sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. We pray that in all that is said and done in this Thy house today, that Christ will be uplifted, Christ will be glorified, and that hearts and souls will be drawn out after Him as Savior and as Lord. Do bless Thy people, we pray today. Encourage every believer in the Lord. Build us up in our most holy faith. Help us to die to self and to sin more and more. Help us to live unto Christ. Help us to be conformed to the image of Christ. And Lord, may Christ be seen in us, the hope of glory. For any, Lord, cold at heart, give that restoring touch. And any, Lord, that are maybe discouraged through difficulty and trials and battles in life, bless them and encourage them today by the mighty grace of God. For others needing a word of counsel or direction, we pray that Thou wilt show them the way that Thou wilt have them to go. And Father, for any with us today, old or young, and they're not saved, Lord, speak to them today. Impress upon them, Lord, the need to be born again. And Father, we pray that even today, this very morning, they would taste and see that the Lord is good, and that they'd come in faith and repentance unto Christ for salvation. Remember, Lord, those that cannot be with us today because of age and sickness and infirmity, and those that are in residential and hospital care, meet their needs. O God, we pray, Lord, those that have lost loved ones in recent times, we pray that Thou wilt encourage them. And others, Lord, who may be shielding and isolating at this time, bless them and undertake for them and encourage them in the Lord. And others connected with us who need a touch and body at this time, draw very near, O God, and raise them up to that good measure again of health and strength, and encourage them by the way. We thank Thee for our Sunday school and Bible class this morning. Bless Thy word, the ministry of our teachers, to the saving of our children and the blessing of them in the ways of God. Pray for our youth fellowship, the work of the Bethel Children's Crusade, and every outreach, Lord, that goes from this congregation. May your hand of blessing be upon it, we pray. And Lord, use the going forth of thy word and all these different avenues of service. Use them, Lord, we pray, to the extension of the kingdom of God. Bless all our homes and our families today. Do unite them all in Christ, we pray. We pray for thy blessing upon our land and our nation today, O God. Bless each of our sister congregations, every minister, student, and layman, Lord, who will preach thy word. And wherever, Lord, thy word is faithfully preached at this time, bless every faithful ambassador for Christ. Lord, you've said that I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Grant that even in this day in our province and in the south of Ireland, we think of England, Scotland, Wales as well, that there will be that building work, that adding of living stones to the church of Christ, we pray. Remember again, Lord, those that rule in our nation, O God, that they might rule in righteousness and in the fear of God and in accordance with thy word, and bring to naught the plans of evil and ungodly men, we pray. Have mercy upon our queen and our royal family. May the light of the gospel shine into that household, we pray. And Father, we pray that there'll be that turning unto the Lord. Bless our missionaries today at home and abroad. We do commend them to thee, O God. We pray that thou wilt bless them and encourage them greatly in the Lord. Keep them safe in these days, we pray. And bless their ministry wherever they might be, at home and abroad, and use them for the glory of thy name. Abide with us, we pray. Do us good now, we ask. Just remember even our land concerning the COVID situation at this time. Put thy restraining hand upon it and give comfort to those that have been bereaved through this and those that have been ill. May they know thy touch upon them. And give wisdom and help to our government in dealing with this situation. And grant protection, Lord, to our medical services as well. Abide with us now, we pray. Bless the reading of thy word to our hearts, the singing of thy praises. Close us in, Lord, with yourself. And let the word of the Lord have free course amongst us today. And may Christ be honored and glorified, in whose name we do pray and do ask all these things. Amen. We're going to turn again, please, to our second hymn. In our hymn sheet is hymn number 388 in our own hymn book. It's a great hymn reminding us of the wonder of God's love to his people. It says, loved with everlasting love, led by grace that love to know, Spirit breathing from above, thou hast taught me it is so. O this full and perfect peace, O this transport all divine, in a love which cannot cease, I am his and he is mine. 388, keeping our seats while we sing.
Oh.
to turn, please, in God's Word this morning to the book of the Psalms for Bible reading, to the Psalm 24, and then we're turning also over to Ephesians chapter 6, and the verse number 15 of that chapter. If you'd like to mark those two passages, reading first of all from Psalm 24, and then turning over to Ephesians chapter 6, and the verse number 15. Psalm 24, here the psalmist is praising God for the sovereignty of God, that God is indeed the sovereign God of heaven. But he also highlights the wonderful mercy that affords God's people. And that is the mercy of fellowship with the Lord through us yielding to the Lord and trusting in the Lord. And Psalm 24, verse 1, the psalmist says, "The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas, and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, have not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive the blessing from the Lord, and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob, Selah. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, be lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory." Selah. Then turning over to Ephesians chapter number 6, the sixth chapter of the book of Ephesians, just one verse there, and it's the verse number 15 of Ephesians chapter 6, and it says, "And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." Amen. We'll end our reading there, that verse 15 of Ephesians chapter 6, and we know and pray the Lord will bless this public reading of God's eternal and infallible word to all our hearts. And at this stage of our service this morning, I want to welcome everyone in the Lord's great name. It's good to see so many gathered with us here in God's house. We also welcome those listening in online. Prayers the Lord will bless you today. If you're a believer in the Lord, may you be greatly encouraged and strengthened by the grace of God. And if you're here today and you're not saved, even today may you come and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for salvation. The announcements for the week are as follows. Do you remember, please, the gospel meeting tonight here at 7 p.m.? I belong to bring God's word. Pray for that meeting. Plan to join with us, invite and encourage others along under the sound of God's word. And tonight we'll be speaking upon the subject of the marriage supper of the Lamb. So do remember that, pray for it, make it known, and invite others in under the sound of God's word. Tomorrow afternoon, 2 p.m. meeting here at the church car park for the ongoing door-to-door outreach. I know it doesn't suit a lot of people because of work commitments and others, but pray for the word as it goes out, as we letterbox the literature. Every home receives a gospel booklet and a gospel tract. And there's the message, the sermon and the gospel going into every home. Pray for it. And if you can come along and help, well, we'd be delighted to see you. It's just from 2 till about 3:30 on the Monday afternoon. Tomorrow night at 8 o'clock in our Portadown Church, it is the Whitfield College of the Bible graduation service. Now, that is just by invite only, but you can view it online and do, if at all possible, tune into that service tomorrow night. Tuesday, 8 p.m., midweek prayer meeting and Bible study. We commend that to every believer, and I belong to bring God's word. Do you remember the children's meetings this week, each weeknight from Tuesday through to Friday at 6:30, Tuesday night Tresna, Wednesday Lisbalaw, Thursday McGuire's Bridge and Bethel here, all at 6:30 p.m. Pray for Gillian and all involved, and that the Lord will bring in the children and bless in those meetings night by night this year to the saving of souls. The youth fellowship meeting here in the church on Friday night at 8 p.m. We commend that to all the youth. It was quite a goodly number last Friday night at the first meeting back. There was room for more. And really all young people from P7 and upwards are welcome. And also bring your friends with you. And we trust the Lord will bless the fellowship meetings as they continue. Next Lord's Day, the 26th of September, Sunday school and Bible class, 11 a.m. The morning worship service at 12 noon. We belong to Bring God's Word. And then in the evening at 7 p.m., we're having a special testimony meeting. Our brother, Mr. Colin McKee from our Cumber congregation, will be along to testify of God's saving grace and keeping power in his life. Our brother is a farmer, and he's a businessman as well, and he's an elder in our church in Cumber, active in the Lord's work. And he'll be coming to share with us the tale of what the Lord has done for him and what the Lord means to him. Now, there we invite invites for that out on the table in the porch that Ian has done out for us. We encourage you to take those, please, and give them out to your friends and family, neighbors, maybe somebody you work with, whatever. Invite them along to that special outreach service next Sunday evening. The Vision magazines are available. They're out on the table in the porch. Do get your copy as you leave. And then just a matter, Brother Jeffrey's asked me to mention regarding the posting out of the DVDs. I understand some of you, although they are paid for by the church, are being charged at your end for receiving these DVDs. That should not be the case. And if your local post office is insisting that there is a mistake, they should not be doing that. That's an error. And do speak to the post office about that. But also, if you have any problems, again, about that, speak to Jeffrey. But do just take note of that, please. This coming Saturday night as well, the 25th of September, in our Lisburn Church at 7:30, there's a Youth Council Bible study. This is bi-monthly. It's organized by our Youth Council. And it's really open to all young people from 16 years of age to 29 years of age. Now, I don't fall into that category. I'm long past that category. But if you're in that category and you're able to drive or whatever, encourage young people, do go along. And you'll have good fellowship there with other young people of like mind around the Word of God. I understand the Reverend Paul Foster and Mr. Jonathan Smith, the youth evangelist, will be in charge of those meetings. Do also please pray for the Consider Christ outreach this week at the Balmoral Show. There'll be a stand there really through from Tuesday to Saturday. We'll be giving out gospel literature, gospel calendars. Pray for that the Lord's hand of blessing will be upon it, and that the Lord would use it to the extension of his kingdom. Then we'll also ask you just to pray for our daughter Grace and Joshua as they get married here on Thursday. Pray for them in their marriage service, that they know much of the Lord's presence and blessing upon them on that day and on that occasion as the families would gather in the will of the Lord. That's really all by way of necessary announcements. We're turning again, please, in our hymn book, or to our hymn sheet for our final hymn this morning, 364, number the third hymn in our hymn sheet. It's a lovely hymn, "Peace Like a River is Flooding My Soul. Since Christ my Savior maketh me whole, a sweet peace abiding my portion shall be. Jesus my Savior is precious to me." And we'll keep our seats while we sing as the organist leads us in our praise. ask you just to stand to your feet just for a short word of prayer, just to change our position before we come to the preaching of God's Word. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy presence with us already in our gathering this morning. We pray that Thou would draw very near in the time that remains, we ask. Again, Lord, we do pray for Thy blessing upon the outreach of the Consider Christ this week at the Balmoral Show. Bless all those who would help, and bless the literature as it would be given out. May it be well received, Lord, and may through this Thy kingdom be extended. We pray also, Lord, for Grace and Josh on their wedding day on Thursday. May Your hand of blessing and of grace be upon them, and may they know much of Thy presence and blessing on that day and in their new life in the will of the Lord, we do pray. Abide with us now, we pray, as we come to Thy Word. Open our eyes to behold wondrous things out of Thy law, O God. May Thy Word be with freshness, with power, with blessing to our souls today, O God, we pray. May it be to the encouragement of every believer, every child of Thine. And for any in the gathering who know not Christ, speak to them today and save them by the power of God divine. Undertake now, I pour Thy Spirit upon preacher and upon congregation alike. And have Thy way in all our hearts. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. I'll ask you to turn, please, again to that verse we read earlier there, to Ephesians chapter number 6 and the verse number 15. In recent weeks we've been looking, studying the Christian armor. And today we come to verse number 15, which really refers to the third piece of the Christian armor. And verse 15 of Ephesians 6 says, "And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." Now, proper footwear is something that is vitally important for every soldier in battle. Yes, his very life may depend upon what he wears in his feet. One of the things that greatly hindered British soldiers in World War I was a condition known as trench foot. Standing in the muddy trenches day on and day out, their footwear was inadequate to keep out the rain and the damp and whatever, and led to severe infection in their feet and hindered many soldiers in that condition from fighting in the battle. So footwear is very important for the soldier. And it is with this thought of a soldier's footwear that Paul then speaks to us about the third piece of the Christian armor here in verse 15 of Ephesians 6. When he says, "And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." In Paul's day, whenever a Roman soldier went into battle, he wore strong leather sandals that were tied to his feet. Attached to these sandals were greaves of leather or brass, and they were to protect the soldier's ankles and shin. The sole of the sandal also would have been impregnated with metal studs or hobnails. And this would give the soldier a firm grip, a firm foothold in rough terrain, and as he did combat with the enemy. Thus we see that this sandal was a very important part of the Roman soldier's attire and armor. And Paul here in the passage before us, he uses this sandal to show to every Christian, yes, the importance of them wearing the shoes, as he says here in this verse, of the gospel of peace. He says there, "And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." And my, if the believer, yes, is to be victorious in his conflict with Satan, sin in the world, and with that old nature, then his life and his walk must be shod, as it says here in the verse, with these gospel shoes of peace. Yes, child of God, in our meeting this morning, let me say this, having on these gospel shoes of peace is vital. If you and I are to be victorious for Christ in this world. And that being so, then it's important for us to consider what the Bible teaches regarding our feet as believers being shod with the gospel of peace. First of all, then, what then does it mean for the believer to have on these shoes of the gospel of peace? Our verse says, "And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Notice that word preparation there. It really means to equip. It means to make ready. You think about that and link it up with what Paul said earlier in verse 11 of this chapter when he says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And with the connection there between verse 11 and what is said in verse number 15, we see there that these gospel shoes of peace are something that enable God's people to stand, as it says there at the end of verse 11, against the wiles of the devil. And notice also the word feet there that is mentioned in verse number 15 of Ephesians 6. Paul there is not talking about our literal physical feet. No, he's using a metaphor here, if you like, a picture. And that word feet there really applies to our walk as Christians, to our life as Christians, to our character as Christians, to the manner of our living as believers in the Lord. Therefore, as we walk and as we live in this world, our life, we see here, is to be adorned with these shoes of the gospel of peace. What does this entail? Well, this gospel of peace that is mentioned here really means us as Christians remembering that as God's people, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through trusting Him as Savior. You remember what Paul says in Romans 5, verse 1, that great gospel verse. He says there, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And this is something we are never to lose sight of as the people of God. Having peace with God through faith in Christ the Savior, what does it lead to? What does it entail for us as Christians? It means the pardon, the forgiveness of all of our sins. The Bible speaks of Christ to the believer and says of Christ, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Also, having peace with God through faith in Christ means that as believers, we are now reconciled with God. And we're now saved from God's wrath in hell itself. Turn with your Bible back there to Romans chapter number 5. And look at what Paul says there about this in verse 9 and verse number 10 of Romans chapter 5. He says, much more then, being now justified by His blood, that's the blood of Christ, we shall be saved from wrath. And that speaks of the judgment of God upon the sinner in hell. We shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. For us to have peace with God means the forgiveness of all of our sins. It means reconciliation with God. God is our Heavenly Father, and we're saved from the wrath to come. Also, having peace with God, it means that we are absolutely sure of heaven through Christ. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 30, whom He justified, them He also glorified. Believer, can I say these are the blessings of peace with God in our lives as God's people. And this is what you and I are to keep our eyes upon in life. As we seek to live the Christian life, never lose sight of this fact, Christian, through faith in Christ, you now have peace with God. Never lose sight of this in your Christian pilgrimage. My true faith in Christ, through having peace with God, your sins are all forgiven, believer, through the blood of Christ. You're saved from a lost eternity in hell. You're sure of heaven. There's a place being prepared for you in glory because of what Christ has done and what Christ is to you as your Savior. Having on these gospel shoes of peace means you and I as believers never lose sight of this great truth, that with peace with God through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. My, during the Napoleonic Wars, the French troops were encouraged in their battles by keeping their eyes upon Napoleon, their commander-in-chief. Well, believer, as you and I live in this world and live for Christ in this world, we're to keep our eyes upon Christ. Keep our eyes upon the blessings that we have through having peace with God by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says to you and I as Christians, we're to be ever looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Dear child of God, yes, the devil would want to blind you to this truth. The world and false religion would want to blind you to this great truth. But Christian, keep this before you through faith in Christ. The Bible says, and all that counts is what the Word of God says. It says, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Unsaved friend in our meeting this morning, let me say this, that if you are to have peace with God, if you are to be reconciled with God, if you are to have your sins forgiven, if you are to be saved from hell and sure of heaven after this life, then in time, you must repent of your sin before God and turn by faith to Jesus Christ and trust in Him, trust in His sacrifice, His blood alone for your salvation. You must be justified by the blood of Christ, the Bible says. The Bible says, for Christ also have once suffered for sins, the just for us, the unjust, that He might bring us to God. And friend, Christ is the one that you must trust in to be your Savior. This is vital. This is an absolute. This is a necessity. If you are to have peace with God, if you never trust Christ as Savior, you can never know the side of eternity, what it is to have peace with God. To have peace with God, to have your sins forgiven, to be reconciled with God, to be saved from the wrath to come, to be sure of heaven. Now in time is repentant sinner. You must turn by faith to Christ and trust Him as your own and personal Savior. Yes, these gospel shoes of peace speak of you and I as believers remembering, keeping this great truth before us that we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. But we can say further regarding the meaning of these gospel shoes of peace that they also speak, yes, of you and I as believers living in, as the Bible says, the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, Paul speaks to God's people about that very fact, and he speaks to them there about the matter of living in and knowing in their life as Christians. He says, the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. And believer, if you and I are to know the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, abiding in our hearts, then we must obey the Lord. We must obey God's word. We must obey God's will for our lives as Christians. The psalmist says, mark the perfect man, behold the upright man, for the end of that man is peace. Child of God, if you and I, if we go against God, go against God's word and God's will and the teaching of God's word for our lives, then we go away from God's will for our lives, and my will not know the peace of God that passeth all understanding, ruling and reigning in our hearts. In other words, the Lord will trouble our hearts. He will trouble our minds, and that will continue until we obey the Lord, until we put things right with the Lord and yield to the Lord's word and will for our lives. The hymn writer says, peace like a river is flooding my soul. And that was their portion. Why? Because their life was yielded to the Lord. A believer in Christ this morning, yes, if our walk and our life is to be shod, as it says in our text, with the shoes of the gospel of peace. In other words, if we are to live as God's people in the peace of God that passeth all understanding, then as believers, we must submit to the Lord in all things. Yield to the Lord in all things. As the hymn writer says, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Yes, having on these gospel shoes of peace means us remembering that we have peace with God through the sacrifice of Christ. But it also reminds us of living in the peace of God that passeth all understanding by us yielding to the Lord, obeying the Lord's word and will for our lives. But then we can say further regarding the meaning of these gospel shoes of peace, and they also speak of you and I as believers living in peace and living in harmony with others day by day. The book of Romans chapter 12 and In the verse number 18, Paul there is writing to God's people. And he says these words, he says, "If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men." That applies to us as Christians. Indeed, when the ungodly mock us, and when the ungodly threaten us for our faith and for our witness and for Christ, we're not to seek revenge as the people of God. Rather, we are to be like Christ. What does the Bible say of Christ in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 23? In this matter, it says, "Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously." And as much as lies within us as God's people, we are to live peaceably with others day by day as God's people. Also, as God's people, we're to live in peace and harmony and accord with our fellow believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, in the Church of Christ itself. Yes, as believers, yes, we may be seen from different backgrounds. We, all of us as Christians, have different personalities. No two believers are the same in their personality. Yes, as Christians, we may have different opinions about matters that do not concern our salvation or matters that are not fundamental to our faith. And as God's people, in dealing with all these things, we're not to allow these differences to hinder or to mar our relationship with our fellow believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn with me, please, over to Philippians and the chapter number 4. And look with me, please, at verse number 2. Here Paul counsels two ladies, two believers in the church in Philippi. Obviously, there was a difference of opinion between them over some matter. And look at his counsel to them. In verse 2 of Philippians chapter 4, he says, "I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord." They were not to allow discord or disunity to harm their relationship, their friendship, indeed their witness and their service for Christ. Paul says, "I beseech them that they be of the same mind in the Lord." They were to live in peace and harmony and accord with each other as sisters in the Lord. Turn back to Philippians chapter 2 and just look at the counsel there that Paul gives to God's people in the church at Philippi, emphasizing this very point. Philippians chapter 2, verses 2 to 5 of the chapter, he says, "Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having," notice it, "the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." And people of God, that is good advice for us all as God's people. Even in our interaction with other people, other believers in the Lord, how we're counseled to be of one accord, of one mind, to do nothing out of strife or for vain glory for ourselves as God's people. You remember what Christ said to his disciples in John's Gospel, chapter number 13, verses 34 and verse 35. He speaks to them there and he says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you." And then he added this, he says, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." There the Lord was telling the disciples, this is a mark of your faith in Christ. This is a witness for the Lord before the world, your love to one another in Christ, your accord, your agreement, your oneness amongst you as God's people. And brethren, sisters in Christ, the Lord says here very clearly, very definitely, very emphatically, that we prove our genuineness of our faith in Christ to the world by our love one to another as God's people in the Lord. And this is what it means for you and I to put on these gospel shoes of peace that is mentioned and spoken of by Paul in our text, remembering that with peace with God, through faith in Christ, seeking to live out the peace of God in our lives by yielding to Christ, then as God's people in our interaction with others, saved and unsaved alike, We're to seek to live in peace and harmony and accord as God would enable us day by day. But then moving on just in the second place this morning, not just the meaning here of our text, notice the outcome for the believer and having on the gospel shoes of peace. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 15, Paul says, "And your feet shod," he says, "with the preparation of the gospel of peace." Think of the illustration again of a soldier. When a soldier has good footwear in battle, that soldier, yes, he will have a firm footing. He will have protection for his feet. Also, he will have mobility in a moment of time to get up and to fight the enemy. And that really illustrates to us the effect in the believer's life when his or her walk is shod with the gospel shoes of peace that Paul speaks of and mentions in our text. Yes, and having on the shoes of the gospel of peace as God's people, we will be steadfast for God in our battle against sin and Satan and false religion. Yes, as believers, will not be carried away with the false teaching of others. Yes, there are many believers and they're deceived by false teaching. Why? Because they've lost sight of this great fact, that they have peace with God by faith alone in the Lord Jesus Christ alone as Savior. The Bible says in Romans 1 verse 17, the just shall live by faith. And believer, it is indeed by holding fast to this great truth that you'll be steadfast and strong in your faith, in your walk with God. It was Martin Luther, the Protestant reformer, who says, any church that does not hold to this truth will fall. And my, he was right in that statement. How important it is we never lose sight of this great truth that we're justified by faith in Christ. It will encourage you, Christian, to be steadfast for God when winds of opposition and adversity come against you and all the false teaching of men and false religion, to be steadfast for the Lord. But also in having on the gospel shoes of peace as Christians, we'll be protected as well from the devil's snares and pitfalls. Turn with me back to Psalm number 34. Psalm number 34. And that psalm really tells of the Lord's blessing upon those whose walk, whose Christian life is adorned with the shoes of the gospel of peace. It's really a picture of such a life. And what is the blessing of such a life in the Lord's protection? Well, there's the promise of the Lord's presence. Look at verse 18 of the psalm. It says, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. The Lord is near His people. Look at verse number 4, the promise there of answered prayer. The psalmist says, I sought the Lord, and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Also, there is the promise of the Lord's deliverance. Verse 19 says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. There's the promise also of the Lord's provision. Verse 10, it says, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. And then there's the promise there of the Lord's blessing upon their life personally, day by day. Verse number 8 of the psalm says, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. People of God in our service today, let me say this. This will be our portion as well when our lives are marked by peace with God, marked with the peace of God that passeth all understanding. And when we seek to live in peace with others, yes, when the world and the flesh and the devil would attack us as God's people as we seek to be a faithful witness for Christ in this world, we'll know the Lord's protection. We'll know the Lord's blessing. We'll know His presence. We'll know His deliverance. We'll know His provision. We'll know His protection. And my, we'll see the Lord answering prayer on our behalf. Then we can say further that in having on the gospel shoes of peace as Christians, we'll have liberty. What for? Well, liberty to serve the Lord, to be up and doing for the Master. Yes, whenever a soldier has good footwear, he's active, he's mobile, he's ready to fight, he's ready to serve a queen and country, so to speak. Likewise, in having our lives shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, we will be enabled to serve the Lord in our life day by day. As Christians, we'll be enabled to go where God wants us to go. And we'll be able to do what God wants us to do. The Lord says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Yes, it is God's will for us as believers. It is God's will for us as a church to spread the gospel message that Jesus saves to all and sundry at home and abroad. That's our great commission from the Lord. Indeed, the Lord says to you and I who are saved, he says, know thou the God of thy fathers and serve him with a perfect heart and a willing mind. God's will and plan for our lives when we're saved is to serve the Lord in whatever way we can in our life, day by day. And people of God, if this is indeed to be our testimony, then we must, as the Bible says, lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And as it says here in our text today, we must put on the shoes of the gospel of peace. Oh, and by God's grace, may this be our testimony day by day as the people of God. We'll close our meeting just with a word of prayer this morning. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee, Lord, for Thy presence with us here in Thy house. We thank Thee for the lessons that Thou hast been showing to us and speaking to us of regarding putting on the shoes of the gospel of peace. Help us, Lord, when we're saved, to never lose sight of the fact that we have peace with God through faith in Christ, saved from wrath to come, sure of heaven. Help us to know Thy peace ruling and reigning in our hearts by yielding to Thee day by day. Lord, help us to live out that peace even before others, in our homes, in our workplaces, in our communities where we live, and in the work of God and the cause of Christ that we are involved in. Help us, Lord, to put on these shoes day by day, that by our life and by our testimony as God's people, Christ would be honored and glorified, and that others would be pointed to the Savior. For any, Lord, in our gathering today not saved, speak to them. May they realize that they too can only have peace with God, know their sins forgiven, and be sure of heaven through them coming as a repentant sinner and putting their trust in Christ alone for salvation. Accept of our thanks now. Take us to our homes in safety. Give us traveling mercies. Bless us throughout this thine own day. Return us again in thy will this evening hour. We ask all these things for Jesus' sake and glory, giving thee thanks. Amen. Amen.